The Trip, A Woman's Intimate Confessions, Part 5, by Anna Bridgewater. Narrated by Christina May. Life sometimes throws you for a loop. One moment I was mentally on my way to Germany with my lover. One phone call later, and I was a concerned family member with a bouquet of tulips in one hand and my husband's toothbrush in a plastic bag in my work bag next to my computer. The call about my husband's illness came in the middle of the night. I immediately sent a message to the man I considered my lover, Carl. Illness in the family. I can't make it. I clutched the phone in my hand and stared at the screen, without getting a reply. I wrote again. I would like to see you soon. Thinking about you. Then I escaped into the realm of sleep to get away from the terrifying and mysterious reality. The next morning, there was a reply. What a shame. Hope the family will feel better. Write to you soon. Carl. I was concerned about my husband. However, the concern did not overshadow the frustration boiling inside me. The lingering excitement and anticipation that had kept me going was gone. The new black lingerie I had bought because my lover was going to be looking at me was placed in the lowest drawer of my clothes cupboard, and I put on a pair of flat shoes to go visit my husband at the hospital. These were the rules of my life. I had an obligation to my husband, Randall. We were parents together. We were public together. We had mutual friends and knew each other's families. Yet, we both had a lover. And we both pretended as if we didn't know anything about the other person's secret life. Randall had experienced chest pains while he was away at a seminar, and it was his mistress, the skinny and efficient Katrina, who had phoned the ambulance. Now he had been transported to the Copenhagen Central Hospital. I parked my bike, walked through the glass doors, and stood there waiting for a lift. The central hospital might have the longest waiting times for lifts in the whole country, and it struck me that it might be on purpose. Anyone wishing to ride on them would be forced to experience a bizarre form of mindfulness to counteract the stress of the hospital staff and the anxiety and sadness of the patients and their families. Then I shook my head to get that thought out of it. Instead, I looked at one of the young men clad in white who was also waiting for the lift. Nice ass, I quickly thought. Then I shook my head again and scolded myself. What the hell is wrong with you? You are checking out men's asses while you're on your way to visit your husband who might be seriously ill. I knew what was wrong with me. I was trying to distract myself so that the threatening reality did not come too close. Randall's illness might end up having a whole range of consequences. Even if he was only a little bit ill, I could still not go to Hamburg with my lover. If Randall's illness was just a little bit serious, he would be out of work for a while, and I would be alone in caring for the kids and tending to our home. And lastly, if Randall was very ill and might end up dying, it would bring about an avalanche of misery. The kids would be devastated. I would miss Randall, and I would have a guilty conscience at the same time. I hated myself for having such selfish thoughts. I simply couldn't help it. But Randall was a comfort to me, just as I was to him. We were accessories that ensured that the other person might have a social life, a bedfellow, and someone sharing responsibility for the children. I ground my teeth so hard that my jaw hurt, and a slight snarl escaped from my mouth. The man clad in white turned around to look at me. He was a nurse, and his name tag told me that his name was Jacob. He smiled at me and let me enter the lift before he did. I noticed his white teeth and the necklace with the little piece of coral in a leather strap around his neck. I felt my face beginning to blush, and I looked down at the floor.